Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two starts right now here on the Early Line. SiriusXM Channel 159, right on the Sports Grid Network. It's Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside here on a Wednesday morning. Now, Joe, before we get into this topic with the NFC East, some of the people out there might be saying, like, hey, look at this. Donnie's on with Joe. What's going on? Where is Kevin Walsh? If you didn't know, Joe Ranieri, Wednesday is a massive wrestling day with AEW Wrestling. Kevin doesn't concentrate all that well on Wednesdays, so I do appreciate, Joe, your first and foremost attention with us this morning, and I do thank you for that.
Anything I can do, man. I mean, he's the new Bobby the Brain Heenan. Let's be realistic here, man. He's all over the map. He's putting together quite the stable of wrestlers, yeah. So I'm glad I can fill in here, Donnie.
There we go. Absolutely. Let's get on our way here to the NFC East and have some fun with that, because whenever the odds are on the move here, Joe Ranieri, I love to talk about it. And if we preface this entire offseason, opening up the Dallas Cowboys with the FanDuel Sportsbook, they were always the favorite to win this division. But slowly the Eagles making shrewd moves, adding to the roster, the Dallas Cowboys losing players, it felt, on their roster. And here we are today, the last day of August, with the Eagles at a plus 145 to win the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys at a plus 145 to win the NFC East. Before we get into the teams themselves, do you agree with this line movement? And also, as I asked you before, some of these closing lines. Could we see the Philadelphia Eagles close before week one as the favorite to win this division at the FanDuel Sportsbook?
Well, listen, the Cowboys are always the most overhyped, overvalued team to start any season. And on a week-to-week basis, it's hilarious. The Eagles have gotten a lot of hype. And listen, it was the tale of two halves last year, right, with Sirianni. It was the, my God, what is this team early on? And then there was the second half, a softer schedule, and they kind of breezed right through it. They did get blown out, but they made the playoffs, right, Donnie? So isn't that really what it's all about at the end of the day? Not a whole lot of turnover. It doesn't shock me that Philadelphia is getting the love here, but when it comes down to it, I don't think Cowboy fans, I don't think we're done seeing a push for the love of the Cowboys, especially if they beat Tom Brady in week one. We know what's going to happen to that number at plus one. It ain't going to be there, Donnie, if they end up beating Brady here on the first weekend, first Sunday night game, is it? Yeah, we're get the 145 now if you're a Cowboys backer, because they beat Brady. Yeah, that ain't going to be there. Yeah, that ain't
Super Bowl. Yeah, it's been a while for the Dallas Cowboys actually making it to the Super Bowl, or quite frankly, winning multiple playoff games. We'll see if they can do that. But that price is even right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook overall. And sometimes, Joe, it's just as simple. Who are you betting on? Like Major League Baseball, who's pitching on the mound? Dominant pitcher? Cool. I don't even care who's at the plate. This guy should throw 7-8 innings here and handle his business. If we equate that to the NFL, who's your starting quarterback? When you take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles, it's Jalen Hurts. Young quarterback, made the playoffs last year, and then showed in the playoffs, like, whoa, man, are you really going to be the future of this franchise with a terrible performance? It's very good, Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. But if we're looking across, Daniel Jones of the New York Giants, Carson Wentz, a good old friend there for the Washington Commanders, and then Dak Prescott here for the Dallas Cowboys. If we're looking at all of these quarterbacks combined, to me, it's still Dak Prescott, the best of the bunch. And is that reason enough, Joe, to bet a team like the Dallas Cowboys just to win because you think they have the best quarterback in this division?
No, you can't bet the Cowboys. There's so much, you know, listen, as bettors, Donnie, we try to avoid variance, right? As best we can, we try to eliminate it in our thinking. It's Dallas variance Cowboys. That's all they are. You cannot figure this team out on a week-to-week basis. There's so many things that can go wrong, namely the head coach. How long before Mike McCarthy is looking over his shoulder? How long before the rumors start flying? I think the Cowboys are a disaster waiting to happen. Kind of hard to invest your money this early on them. It really is.
Let's welcome in the radio audience, Sirius XM Channel 159. This is the Sports Grid Network, the early line for Wednesday. It's Joe and Donnie, and we are talking some NFC East football. Now, having said with the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, obviously the two front runners that we're looking at in this division. But as we know, there's a lot of turnover and a lot of teams, particularly in the NFC East, that like to rotate between division championships year to year to year. Are we shortchanging Ron Rivera and the Commanders, Brian Daboll now moving over to the New York Giants, or is it just we're looking at those teams do deserve to be in the rear? The Eagles and the Cowboys will fight this division out.
You are what you are, Carson Wentz, right? Yeah. And Ron Rivera, you are what you are. I mean, no Chase Young, at least initially, so that defense isn't going to be as good as they could be or can be. So I think the Washington Commanders are going to be a team that may get better and have spurts as the season goes on. I'm not expecting great things early on. I think Carson Wentz and that defense got to figure some things out. If they can get their running backs squared away and not, you know, recovering from bullet wounds, I think we're going to be okay in Washington. But man, oh man, it's all going to hinge on does Carson Wentz, does he just hand games away late in the season? Until I see it, Donnie, I won't believe that he can take that next step. I think he is what he is.
Yeah, talking about taking the next step, too, in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. It's all set up around them, Joe. Very good offensive line, very good tight end, solid wide receivers, and, you know, just piecemeal running game together. You got the makings of a very good football team, but that doesn't work unless your quarterback is playing at the top of his game.
Yep.
Also, keep in mind, as I said, the Philadelphia Eagles do have a lot of draft picks coming up in this next draft. So if Jalen Hurts doesn't work out, they can move on. But my goodness, if he does work out, as we've seen most NFL quarterbacks looking for contract extensions, will be eligible for a massive extension at the end of the season. Let's talk some college football coming up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rolling through hour number two right here on the grid. This is the early line. Tomorrow, it is September, and you get that football feel. Sonny Wrightside here and Joe Ranieri. We had week zero of the college football season. You got your fill. You saw the guys out on the field. The pomp and the pageantry is back. Now it's time for week one, and the big boys start to take center stage. Before we get into this six-pack of games, Joe, that we're going to talk about, week zero into week one, betting philosophies do change. Now, again, this isn't week one of the NFL and the week two where everybody played week one and everybody's going to play week two. So there still are some football teams that have not had their quote-unquote dress rehearsal coming into it. They don't scrimmage other teams. They scrimmage themselves. There are no preseason games. Talk about betting angles for yourself, Joe, that you might take an approach here with a team you haven't seen yet on the field in 2022 here in college.
Well, you know, we know it's not a huge sample size, but we know, Donnie, that one would think that a team that has been able to get the rust off, get some playing time, right, you know, have a game under their belt heading into this week number one in week zero. And we had more games this year in week zero than we've had in years past. So we have at least, I believe, 10 games, in fact, that are going to feature a team playing their first game versus a team who's already played. And well, it might be a little shocking that, yes, it's the team that hasn't played, has the edge against the number here in a small sample size, mind you. But the reality is, the teams that are new to the football season here, those teams that have not played a game yet, tend to do pretty well over those teams that have already played 1 week. So I don't know whether it's more film or what it is. I still look, Donnie, in for the first couple of weeks of the college football season. Give me stability. Give me programs that have the same quarterback, the same coordinators, the same head coach. Give me continuity. Give me these teams like a Northwestern, for instance, that we know what we're getting, right? It's the same quarterback. We got all of these starters, the same coaching staff. Give me those teams over a team with a whole lot of turnover early on in the season. We saw it last week with Northwestern and Nebraska. I think we're going to see it exposed again over the next couple of weeks here in college football.
Wise words by the great Joe Ranieri here entering into week one of the college football season. Let's take a look at some of these because they're going to kick off tomorrow night, and I love this, Joe. You got no NFL this weekend, but we got college football Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Kudos to the NCAA. Whoever hooked that one up, this is going to be a winning weekend here for us. Backyard brawl, West Virginia and Pittsburgh, 143-144. On the rotation, 7 p.m. kickoff here. A little bit over a touchdown. Now, this is one of those long-standing rivalries that's getting re-engaged. And again, West Virginia and Pittsburgh, haven't seen them yet. Pittsburgh going through some changes here. Now, still the same head coach, new offensive coordinator, Kenny Pickett off to the NFL. Jordan Addison plucked from Pittsburgh to go to USC, and we still find ourselves with a 7.5-point favorite. Any thoughts, Joe, in this game between West Virginia and Pittsburgh?
It's interesting. Slovers versus JT Daniels. What is this? USC reincarnated here? Like, what's going on? We got a couple of West Coast guys that have now moved on to the East Coast with opportunities here to showcase. The problem with Pittsburgh is I know Narduzzi and I know all those returning guys on the defensive front there. Defensively, Pittsburgh is going to be sound and solid. Certainly, early on in this season. Whipple's gone. You know, he's in Nebraska right now. So is Kenny Pickett, right? So I don't know offensively, what are we going to get here, Donnie? I know West Virginia, it's so easy to just discount them, but yet West Virginia every year figures out ways, Donnie, to be competitive, to win games that they should not. You had mentioned it's been a while since these two teams have played one another. Both are going through some changes here this year, namely at the quarterback position. I find it hard to lay over a touchdown here in this spot and go against West Virginia. But I do think there's going to be fewer points scored than some would anticipate here with the total. So I lean the under, and I would certainly look for West Virginia to keep this game close.
Yeah, and how about this? The Big Ten also, no strangers to saying, like, hey, week zero, week one, we'll match some of our teams up here. 145-146, Penn State and Purdue. That'll be a kickoff tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. FanDuel opened up this line at a 3, now sits at a 3.5 with a 52.5. So two conference teams going after it. Is this one going to be easier for Penn State? Or just any general thoughts that you have with Purdue and the Penn State Nittany Lions?
No, I love, well, listen, Manny Diaz, you bringing back the turnover chain? What are you going to do there in Penn State? Because I can tell you right now, here's what's going to happen with Purdue. Aiden O'Connell, guys, this kid is a monster, certainly throwing the ball. And, you know, Coach Broms and company, they saw what they had from him last year. It's a shame he didn't have a chance to start the whole season last year because they became a top 10 offense with him throwing the ball under center once Plummer was pushed to the side there at Purdue. Now, he lost a lot of weapons, but Donnie, he didn't have any of those weapons in the bowl game, and he threw for over 500 yards. So I think Purdue is going to chuck it all over the yard on Penn State and company there. I think they're in trouble, Penn State, in this game here, and it would not at all shock me if Purdue upsets Penn State game number one this year. Too many changes at Penn State for my liking. I like Purdue's quarterback. I like the offense. I like consistency, and they're going to be consistent throwing the ball this year.
Could be a tough week one in Happy Valley. Three games we're going to talk about here on Saturday, college football. Very good ones. Utah, Florida, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oregon, and Georgia. And obviously, we can't go through deep dives on all three of those games. But I do like, you talked about continuity, bringing players back with a coaching staff that's been around. That's Kyle Whittingham and the Utah Utes. I think they go into Florida and handle their business. Notre Dame, Ohio State, Joe. We look at this game as a 17-point favorite here for the Ohio State Buckeyes over the Fighting Irish. Then Oregon and Georgia. How about that? If you're in, hey, you know what? Let's play a neutral site game here. Okay, where are we going to play if you're the Oregon Ducks? Well, how about you play in Atlanta? Neutral site? What are you talking about here? Georgia would have to drive 10 miles to get to the Dome and play in this one. Of those three games on Saturday, which one's piquing your attention, or a couple quick tidbits on either one of these games here, Joe?
Two words, Jim Knowles, guys. Ohio State is going to run over Notre Dame. Run them. There is no number high enough. Now, while it looks, I think it's one of those games, Donnie, where it's Notre Dame, it's, you know, it's perception versus reality. New coach, new offensive line, new quarterback for Notre Dame going into, nothing new in Ohio State. Offensively, let's go, Stroud. Let's get it, Njigba. You've got guys that are coming back that are going to be monsters, and you've got a defensive coordinator now that everywhere he has gone, he has gotten guys to elevate their game. Knowles is going to do it for Ohio State. This game is a blowout. When I tell you blowout at the shoe here, hey, welcome to the coaching ranks, Coach Freeman there in Notre Dame. Ain't going to work out all well for you there in week one.
Yeah, how about that? Freeman loses the bowl game, gets shelled in week one. Notre Dame backers, why do we hire this guy? Now, granted, nobody's really going to expect them to go into Ohio State and win, but you're right. When you talk about a dominant running back, a dominant quarterback, and a dominant wide receiver, -9.5 here as a spread for Ohio State in the first half. They probably should be up double digits. Some thoughts on Florida State, LSU. You brought up the topic here, Joe. Florida State already had a dress rehearsal and won. LSU's taking the field for the first time with a new head football coach. They're favored by 3, quote-unquote neutral site down in the Dome in New Orleans. Some thoughts on this one, Joe.
That's a lot of turnover there at LSU, though, isn't it? A lot of exits, a lot of newness there. Not sure they're all going to buy in to Coach Kelly right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the accent. I don't know, but I do know that Florida State got a lot more continuity. I think Florida State... We're going to have opportunities to back them in a couple of underdog roles early in this season. This being one of them, I think Florida State handles business here and doesn't exactly welcome Brian Kelly to the SEC here. Give me FSU to get it done and welcome back Florida State.
Yeah, welcome back, college football. Week one in the house, as we said, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. But you know what? There's still Major League Baseball people. We're going to cover that over the next few segments. Come on back. It's the Early Line on Wednesday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on the Early Line for Wednesday morning, August 31st. Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside here. We talked about some college football, some NFL football. But time to flip the page because we still do have a month left of the Major League Baseball regular season, followed by the playoffs and ending probably somewhere in that first week or two of November. But talking about awards here, Joe, before we get to the games themselves, if I'm looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now and I want to bet on the NL MVP, I can. If I want to bet on the AL MVP, I can do that. How about Cy Young? Sure thing. National League. Oh, let me bet on the American League Cy Young Award. The odds are not up. So I want to ask you this question, which I talked about last year. When Jacob deGrom went down, he was having a sensational season. I even joked, he probably doesn't have to pitch again. Obviously, we were wrong on that. With 2.5 months left to go in the regular season, he was surpassed. Somebody else won the Cy Young Award. Now, looking at the American League this year, Justin Verlander was the top dog by a decent margin. He has an injury. No odds up. Joe, what are we thinking the FanDuel Sportsbook is thinking right now with the odds the rest of the way? And also, do you think that Verlander can still win the award, and does he have it already wrapped up if he doesn't pitch again?
I understand the pulling it down because it's not just Verlander, McClanahan too, who was right up there. True. Also, being pulled last night. There's some question marks going for tests again today with the shoulder. So there's a lot of uncertainty at the top. But listen, if you hadn't bet Verlander already, I don't know what you were looking at. He was the clear favorite. And to me, if he doesn't pitch another inning here, Donnie, in September until the playoffs, he's done more than enough. What, 23 starts this season, 1.87 ERA. He's got nearly a 6 strikeout-to-walk ratio. It's ridiculous what this guy has done at 39 years old coming off of Tommy John surgery. He is the Verlander of old. He's already proven it. He's done more than enough to be able to solidify this award with about 30 games left here. And what I'm hearing and what all I'm reading is that this will be a very short stint. He will be back before we know it. His last outing, he was still hitting 95, 96 on the gun. So, better safe than sorry with the postseason coming up. But Verlander, by far, has done enough, I think, at this point to already solidify the Cy Young Award.
Yeah, certainly getting better with age at this point. We'll see how it factors out. And also when the FanDuel Sportsbook does reopen betting for the AL Cy Young markets here. Let's get into the Major League Baseball card because it is Wednesday. Sometimes we don't get a full card, but we certainly do have one today. Getaway day, as we like to say, in Major League Baseball. We also have afternoon action. Let's take a look at 9:13, 9:14 on the rotation. 2:05 Eastern first pitch here. That's between Houston and Texas. A minus 142 favorite here for the road team. The Houston Astros going up against the Rangers. Martin Perez will be on the mound today versus Javier. Some quick notes on this one. Over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball, if we take a look at Martin Perez, xFIP around 4, which is okay. Strikeout percentage, Joe, coming in right around 26%. He's done very well against right-handed batters. He's faced 105 batters, Joe, from the right-hand side. 284 weighted on base percentage, ISO of 135, fantastic. He's actually got to hit around more from lefties than righties. But if you look at this roster today for the Houston Astros, it's stacked with right-handed bats who have done well against left-handed pitching over the past month. So it's one of those. Does Martin Perez work out today, or does the Houston bats work out today? A minus 142 price. Any thoughts on this game between the Astros and the Rangers here?
So if I was to lean towards Perez, I would have to also believe that he's got enough stuff to be able to strike Houston Astro batters out. The problem with that theory is that the Houston Astros right-handed hitters don't strike out. In fact, they're the lowest in the league against left-handed pitching with just above 12%. So they are not a strikeout team. They are a team that puts the ball in play, and that is not good news for Perez. And in the meantime, Javier, he's had a pretty good season as well. So I anticipate once again that the bats of the Houston Astros will be the difference. I think once you get to that bullpen of Texas, all bets are off. So I'm anticipating it's a bigger number, but I'm anticipating the Astros to handle business against the lefty like they usually do in these spots here, Donnie, and beat the Texas Rangers, who have pretty much underperformed in every category this year. Gimme more Houston Astros as many ways as I can get them. Team total, first five, you name it, they're going to get it done again today.
Take a look at that 7.5 total, one of the better under teams in Major League Baseball, certainly those Houston Astros. We'll skip over a game that we were initially going to talk about, another afternoon game between Pittsburgh and Milwaukee, but we don't have an official starter or lines up there for the Pittsburgh Pirates game taking on the Brewers. So we'll go right to San Diego and San Francisco. Now, as we know, Joe, San Diego fighting for their playoff lives. We thought they were going to get that added boost with Fernando Tatis joining Juan Soto and Manny Machado, and off and away they go, and oh, yeah. One of the better pickups in Major League Baseball, Josh Hader, as a closer, has turned into a disaster. Trying to find their way through. We take a look at the game today. 9:03, 9:04 first pitch, 3:45 Eastern. That's going to be Musgrove versus the lefty Wood. A minus 142 favorite here for the San Diego Padres. Total listed between 7.5 and 8. It looks like now as we're showing a 7.5 on the screen. If we're taking a look at this game, the 7.5 piques my interest a little bit because these are the games I like. Because typically you look at these two in that big ballpark for myself and say, hey, you know what? Let's go with an under. But if we take a look at Alex Wood over the past 30 days, his xFIP, Joe, close to 5, so struggling a little bit. And he's a left-handed pitcher, has dominated left-handed batters. But if we look from the right side, 89 batters he's faced, a 416 weighted on base percentage, coupled with an ISO power number of 295, you're going to get a ton of right-handed bats in the lineup today for the San Diego Padres. If we flip it over and take a look at how Joe Musgrove is going to handle his business, xFIP around the 4.5 range, which is okay. Strikeouts over the past month hovering around 20%. But how about this? 60 batters, Joe, he's faced from the left-hand side, a 344 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 278. Why is that important? At least 6 left-handed batters are expected to be in the lineup today for the Giants. So I'm going to lean on a sneaky total over today between the Padres and the Giants. Any looks from you today, Joe, on this one?
Listen, Musgrove has gone the wrong way here in the second half. He hasn't looked as what he was earlier on. But we've got a similar situation with the Astros and the Rangers as we do here. We've got one team throwing out a lefty going up against another team that has, well, crushed lefties, especially on the road here. The Padres have been phenomenal against left-handed pitching. Wood has had, shall we say, some iffy starts here. He has also had some bad luck, but it's very hard for me to get behind a Giants offense going up against Musgrove here and expect them to all of a sudden explode offensively. I can't do it. I think the price when it opened, Donnie, was pretty reasonable for giving me Musgrove in this situation, and I still think it's pretty going. So even though he's about as mediocre as Joe Musgrove has been here, I do think this is a spot in which the bats will be too much for the left-handed Wood here, and then once you get to that bullpen of the Giants, good luck with that. I'll take the Padres to get it done and score more runs than the Giants again here today to finish it off.
Joe's secret sauce. Wait till those late innings in those Giants games. We'll see if it plays out today out on the West Coast in an early bout. Starting the night card tonight, 9:15, 9:16, 6:10 as a first pitch Eastern here. That's Baltimore and Cleveland. Lyles will be on the mound versus Tristan McKenzie. Heavy favorite for McKenzie and the Guardians today at a minus 172 price. Eights across the board. If I look at this game, sometimes I like to keep it simple. McKenzie has been decent over the past 30 days and certainly seems like he's getting his major league career off the ground. Lyles is a very average pitcher, a 5 xFIP over the past month, low strikeout percentage, left-handed batters facing the right-handed Lyles to the tune of a 366 weighted on base percentage, right-handers at a 350. I'm going to keep it simple and short in this game. I'll take the first five innings run line here for the Guardians in hopes that they're up one run or more by the end of the fifth inning. But these two teams fighting for playoff positioning here, Joe, in late August.
If I'm backing Baltimore, I'm doing it in the first five because that Guardians bullpen is just phenomenal, guys. Yeah. It's going to be very hard for Baltimore to come back in a situation late games because the Guardians bullpen has not allowed an earned run over its last 30 and a third innings, guys. That dates back all the way to August 5th. They have been lights out. And you're also talking about Cleveland, what, 14 and 7 now in its last 21 games? Mountcastle having all sorts of problems here in that lineup, dropping all the way to 7th for Baltimore. He was a big part of their resurgence here. Listen, I like Lyles. I think Baltimore is motivated, although they haven't been good. They've scored three or fewer runs in the last four games here, Donnie. So maybe, just maybe, the way I should be looking at this is the first five under in this spot and anticipate both lineups maybe getting off to a little slow start here against these pitchers. But after that, we can readjust. Keep an eye on that bullpen of Cleveland. It has been lights out. If Cleveland has the lead in the sixth inning, Donnie, yep, you know where I'm going there in the game.
Clinch it, lock it down, lock it out. Now, this game, I'm glad we're toward the end of the segment because there's not a real need to go over a lot of the intricacies here between Oakland and Washington. 927, 928 on the rotation. 7 o'clock start tonight. 8.5 is the total, and that's why I want to talk about it here. Caprillion and Sanchez on the mound. Two bad starting pitchers, two bad bullpens, two bad baseball teams. But yesterday, Joe, it equated to 16 total runs. Is this one of those games where you just say, these two pitchers, I'll fade them. They'll score 9 runs total here?
Expecting bad teams to do good things is never a recipe for success, Donnie. But I'm with you. I think the over is good. But I will say this. The Oakland A's, as bad as they are, they've been playing some of their best baseball. You can only bet the A's on the road. That's where I would lean here today with Caprillion.
My goodness. Oakland and Washington, a breakdown here on the early line. Who else would give you that? We got a lot more Major League Baseball to talk about next, so make sure you come back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Breaking down the Major League Baseball card right here on a Wednesday on the early line. It's Joe Ranieri, Donnie right side, and boy, time is flying, but we got still some Major League Baseball to go and cover. So I'm going to ask you this question. We're going to get into the Seattle Mariners and the Detroit Tigers. Now, as we know, the flipping of the calendar. First part of the season, Joe, everybody thinks they're good and they can make the playoffs. You get around that trade deadline, the haves and the have-nots start to kick in, particularly late August and into September. So if we're looking at the Mariners in Detroit, without even handicapping the game, just broad stroke this for us. Do you take more into account, because you're going to get taxed on some of these Major League Baseball teams now, the teams that it's apparent, they're not playing for anything, they don't care, they're looking to get to the finish line and maybe try out some younger guys when the expanded rosters come up. Do you find yourself taking more favorites late in the season than you did in the beginning of the season? Or what's your outlook in Major League Baseball once September hits?
Wait till the playoffs get. No, I'm kidding. The reality is you don't want to go anywhere near these teams. The fact that we're breaking down Detroit, Washington, and the A's in the same five-minute segment is beyond me. But I will say this here. Keep an eye on the younger guys, the teams that are have plentiful young talent in the farm system. They're going to come up. They're going to get chances. And if the one thing we know about these guys, especially the young guys, Donnie, they're looking to make a name. They're going to play hard. They're going to play often. And some situations here, teams, if they're loaded in the farm system, not worried about draft picks. They're not worried about those types of things this time of year. So the tank is on with some of these teams, and you just have to be very, very careful because, let's face it, like Detroit, like we watched last night, stick a fork in them. Washington the past month, stick a fork in them. But teams like the A's we were just talking about, a lot of young guys up. They're having fun. They're playing. There is that youthful exuberance here, and giving them a shot in the arm, even against bad teams. Now, will they beat the Astros? No, but you have to be cognizant of some of these young teams here with these young players being called up right about now, Johnny, because they are going to have, Donnie, an opportunity to win some games against other mediocre teams that maybe we didn't think they could, but they might very well. Having said that, there is no way I'm betting Detroit today.
Yeah, exactly. If we take a look at the game tonight here, 80 degrees. Best part about the game tonight, Joe, 80 degrees in Detroit tonight with a light wind blowing out to left center field. If we line it up, Gonzalez versus Alexander, two left-handers on the mound, 9-17, 9-18 on the rotation. First pitch will be around 7-10. You do have a favorite here at minus 158 for the Seattle Mariners, and rightfully so. Treated me very kindly yesterday, specifically at the plate. Mm-hmm. The total listed at 8.5. Now, the Detroit Tigers were one of those teams that entering into the season, hey, you know what? They might be able to take, Joe, the next step in 2022 and be a competitive ball club and maybe even rival. Or say, let's take a look at a playoff push in a wild card race. It's been an abject disaster for them all season. If you just even take a look, like every day I handicap this team, Joe, it seems to get worse and worse. Last 30 days for the Detroit Tigers against left-handed pitching. I'm just going to use their anticipated lineup tonight against left-handed pitching, which is ISO power numbers. Now, keep in mind, a 175 ISO power number is very good in Major League Baseball. Above average, 185, 190, 200 in that realm is great. These numbers coming into today, Green, 091, Reyes, 111, Javi Baez, a 0, Haas, a 040, Cabrera, a 0, 130, 167, 136, and another 0 in that lineup today. This is a dead team walking here, Joe Ranieri.
Yeah, looking at that team total right now and hitting bet to the under. Thank you very much there, Donnie. And not to mention, you got Alexander going here today, who, correct me if I'm wrong, just got absolutely crushed in his last start, too, as well. So it has all the makings. I mean, Gonzalez is not a guy that's going to blow it by you. He pitches the contact. He's done a really good job of limiting the long ball, which is odd for him, but he's done a really good job here over the last month. It just everything lines up for a continued fade of Detroit at this particular point against a Seattle team, Donnie. Let's face it, they can ill afford to lose ground by losing to Detroit. Expect them to come out firing, I think, tonight as well.
All right, coming up firing, are we going to see Diaz close the game firing to Timmy Trumpet? Well, game we're talking about is the Dodgers and the Mets. Anderson, the lefty, will be on the mound. He's got very good statistics this year, specifically with a win-loss record going up against Jacob deGrom, 907, 908 on the rotation. This one's going to be live from Citi Field at 7:10 Eastern. Now, yesterday, Joe Ranieri, these lines opened up around that minus 135 price in the favorite for the Mets and deGrom, and now we've seen that as high as a minus 150. And what I love about this, the 6.5 as a total is popping up. We actually had a 6 on the board yesterday, and that game easily went over that number. So if you're looking at this game, is it just this simple? DeGrom is on the mound, I always bet the Mets, or is there value on a team that's over 50 games above 500, Joe, getting a plus money number tonight up at Citi Field?
Tale of two halves, right? This is where a first five versus full game come into play. Do I trust the Grom? Absolutely. Do I trust the Mets bullpen against a team like the Dodgers that you mentioned it here, guys, have scored a major league leading 690 runs with nearly a 790 OPS? Yeah, now the Dodgers stranded, guys, keep this in mind, 12 runners, including six in scoring position last night. The odds of them doing that, even with DeGrom on the hill, are little to none. And I will say this. The Dodgers, and we've talked about this over the last month because we saw it just a little while ago, the Dodgers don't ever, ever close as a dog. And when they usually do, guess what? It works out really good in their favor. In fact, over the last couple of years, Donnie, it's only happened a handful of times in which the Dodgers entered a game as a dog. It happened last year a couple times with Darvish and Musgrove. It happened this year, and boy, oh boy, DeGrom on the hill, who I don't know, does he make it past the fifth inning, sixth inning? Does he have the lead? I think the under 3.5 might not be a bad look in the first five, but I do think the Dodgers are going to have a live betting opportunity here tonight the minute he winds down a little bit, DeGrom, and that bullpen gets going. I think the Dodgers are an opportunity for a live bet here tonight.
I'll tell you what's incredible, too, when you look at the Dodgers, because so many times we look at it in the spectrum of like a 17-game season in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's 162 games in Major League Baseball, and you can count on, like, you know, your hand, the amount of times that the Dodgers might be an underdog on the season. It tells you how good they are and why they are over 50 games above 500. So as we segue to two of the better teams in Major League Baseball, we go to two teams that could have had better seasons. That's the Kansas City Royals and the Chicago White Sox. If we tee this game up tonight, 8-10 start. And sometimes, you know, you look at those top games like, you know what? Maybe the Dodgers could win. Maybe the Mets could win. I'm not too sure if it goes over. Usually some of these lower level games, you have a definitive answer on what you think is going to take place. And I'm looking towards some runs, particularly from the Chicago White Sox. Bubich, the lefty, be on the mound for the Royals, and Lynn, the right-handed pitcher here for the Chicago White Sox, a heavy favorite, -196, and a total sitting at 8.5. My lineup would be, if I'm looking, I do think the Chicago White Sox will score. Anytime, Joe, that they line up against a left-handed pitcher, I usually look towards the White Sox, as they've done very well against lefties over the past few years. This year, not as well as before, because obviously I don't think their team is playing very good baseball at this point. But Bubich over the last 30 days in Major League Baseball, 5X FIP number, low K right here, and to righties and lefties, 372 weighted on base percentage to lefties, and to righties at 387. Now, if we look at the lineup tonight here, including switch hitters, we're probably getting 9 batters from the right-hand side. Small play for me in this one if I take a look at a team total from the Chicago White Sox, and also maybe a first five innings wager on the Chicago White Sox as well. I think they do get the Bubich here. The two teams, particularly like the White Sox, Joe, I thought they would win the division. April opens up, like, this team's going to walk away. They've been such a massive disappointment on the season, but maybe they can still cash me in a ticket tonight.
Listen, I've lost so much money expecting the White Sox to not be three games under 500 right now at this point. And, I mean, when you look at the numbers, and injuries have absolutely played a role. Now, the good news is, I believe, is Yasmin Grandal is back tonight. They might have their catcher back. I think Roberts is getting, you know, he had some wrist issues, but I think he's going to be okay. But, I mean, you look at this team. Last night, the 10th loss in their last 12 games, Donnie, with this White Sox team. And, oh, yeah, they've been outscored 73-42 in that time span. There's just no excuse for this lineup of any sorts to be this terrible right now. And Bubich, you had mentioned it. If they can't get to him, he's lost three straight starts. If they can't get to him tonight with that boost in the arm, with Grandal back now behind home plate, Roberts back in that lineup, I don't know what to tell you here. And they can't blame La Russa because he's not going to be there. So it's White Sox or not for me. Would I be shocked if they lose again? Absolutely not. I'm done being shocked with this White Sox team. Totally underperformed all year long.
Yeah, one of those whiffs there. We're talking about picking the division winners before the season started. I was like, man, one of the easier divisions you're going to get is the Chicago White Sox going wire to wire here. And yeah, wire to wire is a bad baseball team is really more like it. Yankees and the Angels, 9:38 first pitch out on the West Coast tonight. You saw the Yankees last night pick up a victory over the hapless Angels, including Aaron Judge's 51st home run tonight. I see a little bit of a different picture. Not to say that the Angels will win this game. They're a plus 172 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, but I do like that under 7.5. Sandoval, over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball, xFIP around 4, but check out these splits. To left-handed batters, a 135 weighted on base percentage. To righties, a 298. Gerrit Cole in the mound here for the Yankees as well. I don't think this game gets the 8 runs, Joe. I'm leaning on the under here.
I agree with you. Cole, guys, you may, if you don't know, he grew up right down the road. Orange Lutheran High School is where he played, right down the road from the stadium he's going to be playing in tonight, which is why it shouldn't shock anybody that he is 3-0 in Anaheim in his career. And, oh, yeah, a 1.42 ERA. As a matter of fact, last year he pitched here. Family, friends, guys he grew up with. He struck out 15 Angels last year. I'm thinking, Donnie, that the strikeout prop, I don't care what the number is, might be a pretty good bet here, given the fact that if it's one thing the Angels do really, really, really well, it's miss the baseball against power pitchers. And, yeah, I think they're going to miss it a lot again tonight. So I don't care what the number is, what the price is, Cole over his strikeout prop tonight for sure.
And I saved the best for last year, Joe, for a reason. Philadelphia Phillies, Arizona Diamondbacks. I should be lining this up going, the Phillies going for a sweep here, and their continued surgence of getting maybe even the top wild card position, or at least locking in that number two position. Now the Phillies seem like they want to say, let's make it a sweat for Donnie here for the rest of the month here in September, because today they are a favorite at minus 136. The total is 9. Now, I do think the Phillies hit tonight. I think they hit their team total because Henry's on the mound, a high xFIP number, Joe, a little bit over 6. Light strikeout guy, walks too many batters. But my goodness, you're countering with Bailey Falter. Could this be a third straight win for the Diamondbacks? Oh, Joe, I can't take it. I can't. I really.
Five-game winning streak, 45 runs scored by this Arizona lineup, which is goes back to our point earlier, Donnie, filled with youth, filled with young guys. They look energetic. And I'm looking across at Philadelphia these last two games, and it looks like Father Time came in and whooped them in the ass. Like, what's going on here, Philadelphia? Like, meanwhile, they're playing a bunch of kids, running around, having a good time. Arizona first five, give it to me, man. I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it, Donnie. And they are crushing it right now.
Oh, that's painful here. But you know it's not painful? Working with Joe Ranieri over the last 2 hours. How much fun was that? We want to thank Joe for waking up with us and joining us on the early line today, doing that yeoman's work. A true professional, Joe Ranieri. But you know what? Coming up next, listen up. I got some topics you're going to want to deal with.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a day it's been here on the early line. As we wrap it up, last segment of the day, SiriusXM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside today with Joe Ranieri filling in for Kevin Walsh. Talk Major League Baseball, talk some college football, some NFL action, hit the entire Major League Baseball card. But having said that at this time, I don't know how I feel about this mixed week here. We typically, we have our cut lounge line, we play on Sunday, we get ready to go, but we have that extra week to get ready. And I'll tell you who is really getting ready. That's Baker Mayfield. Listen up. This is a family show on a family network, so I can't read exactly what the quotes was said for Baker Mayfield, but it was blank them up. So you can fill in the blanks on that one as Baker Mayfield is ready for opening day for the Carolina Panthers to take on the Cleveland Browns. We talked about it today with Joe Ranieri looking at that line. Could it eventually hit a -3 point favorite for the Carolina Panthers over the Cleveland Browns? And oh, what a sweet redemption it would be if Baker Mayfield can beat the good old boys from the Cleveland Browns. He's been in that locker room. He knows the players. They unceremoniously, I should say, threw him out of that locker room in the favor of Deshaun Watson, who will be suspended for the 11 games to open this 2022 NFL football season. And my goodness, what are the radio airwaves going to be like in Cleveland if Baker Mayfield leads the Carolina Panthers to a victory over the Cleveland Browns and plays well? By the way, talked about it as well. You take a look at this team for the Panthers. You don't want to probably face them week one. Baker's going to be fired up. You got some legitimate weapons at wide receiver and a healthy run CMC, Christian McCaffrey, in the backfield. I'm just as excited as Baker Mayfield is for the opening of the NFL football season. It's just a shame right now that I have to wait this week when typically we would be getting ready just one short week after the final preseason game. But you have to remember, four preseason games in the past has turned into three, so they take a de facto bye week before the season. I can't wait, and neither can we at the Sports Grid Network, for the NFL to get underway. But before that happens, Ben Scott Stevens has your attention coming up next. Stay tuned.